All right, so we are diving deep today into something I think we can all agree is kind of a constant in life.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Negotiation.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about, what to have for dinner or
Yeah.
global peace treaties, there's always some element of give and take, you know?
Absolutely. And that's why I think this deep dive is going to be so fascinating.
Yeah, so we're focusing on three major figures in international diplomacy:
Yes.
Nelson Mandela, Jimmy Carter, and Colin Powell.
Yeah. I mean, these are giants, right?
Yeah.
And they each brought something so unique and so effective to the table.
Yeah. Okay, so like what kind of strategic lessons can we actually take away from these guys?
I think a lot, actually. I mean, even though they seem like really different figures on the surface, there are some common threads that
Yeah.
run through their approaches.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
But let's start with Mandela, right? I mean, the story is incredible.
Yeah, 27 years in prison comes out and leads a movement for peace and reconciliation.
It's almost unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that always struck me was his decision to learn Afrikaans.
Oh, yeah, the language of his oppressors.
Exactly. It's like, imagine being able to understand your opponent's arguments in their own words, even their jokes.
Wow. Yeah, that would change things, I
A
think.
game changer, right? Because suddenly you're not just reacting, you're anticipating, you're connecting on a whole other level.
So it was strategic empathy, not just about being nice, but about gaining a tactical
I
advantage.
think so. And, it worked. He was able to build trust to find common ground where others might have only seen division.
And he wasn't just negotiating the end of apartheid, he was negotiating the very foundation of a new South Africa.
Exactly, a long-term vision.
Okay, so Mandela is empathy as a weapon.
Yeah.
What about Jimmy Carter?
Oh, Carter?
I know he's famous for the Camp David Accords.
Right.
But what was so special about his style?
I mean, he's all about persistence, I would say.
Really?
Just relentless, unyielding effort, bringing Egypt and Israel together after decades of hostility.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's not about charm or charisma. That's about pure grit.
Yeah, I've heard stories about him spending like almost 2 weeks straight mediating between Begin and Sadat.
13 days. Yeah, it's legendary.
Wow.
And not just, politely listening. He was actively shuttling between cabins, mediating arguments over every single point.
It sounds exhausting.
And he even used these personal touches, like showing photos of his grandkids to kind of build rapport.
It's like a completely different approach from Mandela, but still so effective.
Right. And I think what's key with Carter is that focus on the details. Lasting peace isn't built on vague promises. It's built on meticulously crafted agreements.
Yeah, on the nitty-gritty that actually addresses each side's concerns.
Precisely. And what's amazing is that even
He's
now,
100 years old.
I know it. He's still engaged in diplomacy. He's showing that, negotiation is a lifelong skill. You never stop learning.
That's pretty inspiring. Okay, so we've got empathy from Mandela, we've got persistence from Carter. Where does Colin Powell fit into this?
Powell brings a whole different energy to the table.
Yeah, he strikes me as more of a no-nonsense kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. As a military leader turned diplomat, he brings this kind of pragmatism to diplomacy.
Pragmatism. Yeah.
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 It's like, think of it this way. Mandela uses empathy to connect the town. Carter wears you down with persistence, and Powell commands attention with sheer credibility.
And that credibility comes from his military background.
Partly, but it's also his meticulous preparation, his ability to, size up a situation and communicate clearly and effectively, even under pressure.
So like a high-stakes poker player, always thinking a few steps ahead.
Exactly. And you see that in the 2001 U.S.-China spy plane standoff, right after 9/11, global tensions are sky high.
Oh, right, the collision with the Chinese fighter jet.
Yeah, and it could have easily spiraled into a major crisis.
Yeah.
But Powell, instead of resorting to threats or, grandstanding,
Right.
he opts for carefully crafted communication. He finds that balance between being firm and defending U.S. interests, but also leaving room for China to, save face.
Yeah.
So de-escalation through communication.
Exactly. And that's a key takeaway from Powell.
Yeah.
You don't always have to force a solution. Sometimes the best negotiation is knowing when to stand firm, when to offer concessions, and when to just shut up and listen.
It's fascinating how these three figures with such different styles achieve such remarkable results.
Right. But the question is, can those lessons be applied to the world we live in today?
Yeah, it feels like things are even more complex now.
They are, and that's what we're going to explore. So let's put Mandela, Carter, and Powell in the hot seat, so to speak, and see how their approaches might play out in some of the most pressing conflicts of our time.
Okay, I like where this is going.
So let's start with the big one, shall we? The war in Ukraine.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, it really is amazing how they managed to navigate those situations, you know what I mean?
Right, but, you know, part of me is also thinking, like, wow, that's a pretty high bar.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not exactly negotiating peace treaties on a daily basis, you know? So how do these big, like, these grand lessons from these giants of diplomacy, how do they actually translate to, like, you know, regular life?
That's the cool thing about it. I think they're surprisingly relevant. You know, we negotiate all the time, even if we don't always realize it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Think about it. Deciding on dinner with your family, collaborating on a project at work, figuring out weekend plans with friends. It's all negotiation.
Okay. I guess I see your point. But, like, applying Mandela's prison wisdom to, you know, picking a restaurant seems like a bit of a stretch.
Not necessarily. Remember what was at the heart of Mandela's approach? It was understanding the other side, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you and your partner are trying to decide where to eat.
Always a fun negotiation.
Right. And let's say your partner is really set on Thai food, but you're craving Italian.
Happens all the time.
Instead of just, you know, digging in your heels and arguing, try to understand why they're so into Thai. Is it a craving? Is it a special occasion? Are they just tired of pasta?
So it's like, instead of just focusing on what I want, I should try to figure out their deeper motivation.
Exactly. It's like Mandela figuring out the Afrikaners.
Okay.
Once you understand their why, you can be more creative with your solutions.
So maybe suggest an Italian place with a great Asian-inspired appetizer.
Exactly. Or you agree to Thai this time if you get to pick next time. It's not about giving in. It's about finding that win-win.
Okay. That actually makes a lot of sense. So empathy, even in, like, small-scale negotiations, can be really powerful. What about Carter's persistence, though? I can't imagine spending 13 days arguing over what movie to watch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, probably not the best use of time.
Mm-hmm.
But think of persistence as a form of commitment.
Mm.
You know?
Okay.
So let's say you're working on a group project,
mm-hmm.
and the team is kind of stuck on the creative direction.
Been there.
Right? Instead of just giving up or letting one person dominate, you keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
You research different approaches. You brainstorm alternatives. You don't let that initial frustration, you know, derail the project.
So that's the Carter approach. Just keep pushing, keep at it until you find a breakthrough.
Exactly. And often that persistent effort leads to ideas that you wouldn't have come up with if you'd given up early on.
Okay, I like it. Empathy to understand persistence, to overcome obstacles. What about Powell, though? Does his, like, pragmatism thing translate to everyday life, too?
Oh, absolutely. Powell was all about understanding what was achievable,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what wasn't worth fighting for.
So, like, choosing your battles wisely.
Exactly. So let's say you're negotiating a raise with your boss.
Okay.
You might go in with a whole list of reasons why you deserve more money.
Right.
But a good negotiator also knows when to concede certain points.
Yeah.
Maybe accepting a slightly smaller raise in exchange for additional vacation days or a more flexible schedule.
It's about being strategic, knowing when to hold firm and when to be flexible to get the best outcome.
Exactly. And sometimes pragmatism means recognizing when a negotiation just isn't going anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
It's about having the self-awareness to walk away if the terms are unacceptable or if the other party is negotiating in bad faith.
So it's not about winning at all costs. It's about knowing your limits.
Exactly.
And preserving your integrity.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. So we've got empathy, persistence, pragmatism.
Yeah.
It's like these are starting to feel less like these abstract concepts and more like actual tools.
Mm-hmm.
They are tools.
Yeah.
When you combine them, they become super powerful. Imagine going into any negotiation with that trifecta. The ability to understand the other person's perspective, the tenacity to keep pushing for solutions, and the wisdom to know which battles are worth fighting.
Okay, I'm liking this. I'm liking this a lot.
Yeah.
It's like leveling up in life. But how do you actually, like, put this into practice?
Well, one of the most important things is active listening. Don't just wait for your turn to talk. Really hear what the other person is saying, both verbally and non-verbally.
Okay.
Pick up on their tone, their body language. Are they getting defensive? Do they seem open to compromise?
So it's like being a detective looking for those subtle cues.
Exactly. And when you're speaking, be clear and concise. Avoid jargon or, you know, overly complicated language.
So no rambling, no speeches. Just get to the point.
Right. And don't be afraid to ask questions. This shows that you're genuinely engaged and that you're interested in understanding their perspective. And it's okay to take breaks. You know, if the conversation gets heated or unproductive, sometimes stepping back for a few minutes can help everyone kind of regroup.
These are really great tips. I'm already feeling more confident about tackling those, like, tough conversations. But I gotta be honest, there are some situations where negotiation just feels impossible. Like, what if the other person is just completely unreasonable or refuses to budge?
That's a valid concern. Not all negotiations are going to end in a win-win. But even in those situations, these principles can be super helpful.
How so? If someone's determined to be difficult, what good is empathy?
Well, even if you don't reach an agreement, understanding why someone is digging in their heels can be really valuable.
Okay.
Maybe they're feeling threatened or they have a past experience that's making them resistant.
So even if you don't, you know, quote unquote, win the negotiation, you gain some valuable insight into the other person.
Exactly. And that can be helpful down the road. And sometimes the best outcome is simply recognizing that a negotiation is going nowhere and just gracefully disengaging.
Okay, yeah.
And that takes self-awareness and a willingness to prioritize your own well-being, which is a form of pragmatism in itself.
Right. So even in the toughest situations, these principles can help you navigate things more effectively, even if it's just about minimizing the damage.
Exactly. And remember, negotiation isn't a one-time event. It's an ongoing process of building relationships, understanding motivations, and finding those creative solutions. By embracing these principles, you're not just becoming a better negotiator, you're becoming a more effective communicator, a more empathetic listener, and ultimately a more successful human being, I think.
I really like that idea that it's not just about getting what you want, it's about improving how you interact with the world.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the most fascinating things about negotiation is that it's constantly evolving.
In what way?
Well, as technology changes how we communicate, as the global landscape shifts, we're constantly refining and adapting these principles to meet these new challenges.
That's a great point. It's not just a static set of rules. It's a living, breathing process that we can all learn from and contribute to.
Exactly. And in the final part of our deep dive, we'll explore some of the most cutting-edge developments in negotiation theory and practice and how these innovations are shaping the future of how we interact, resolve conflicts, and build a better world, one conversation at a time.
I am excited to hear more. This has been so interesting, and it's really made me rethink how these like seemingly grand concepts can actually be applied in our everyday lives. You know, it's wild to think about it because in these negotiation, this idea of people working things out, it's like as old as humanity itself.
Yeah, it really is, right? I mean, it's like we've been doing this since we were trading, you know, shiny rocks for food or whatever back in the day.
But it's still so relevant today. Like it's not something we've outgrown.
Not at all. It speaks to something really fundamental about us. You know, like we're social creatures. We're constantly trying to figure out how to get along, how to get what we need. And negotiation is like the tool that helps us do that.
It's the key to the game.
Exactly. And whether you're bartering for a rug in a marketplace or, you know, hammering out a global trade deal, the essence of it is still the same. You're trying to find that sweet spot where everyone feels like they got something they wanted.
It's about building bridges instead of walls, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating how even though the tools and tactics have changed over time, you know, those core principles that we talked about, the empathy, the persistence, the pragmatism, they're still the foundation of any successful negotiation.
Yeah, it's like they're timeless.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, the world is changing really fast and negotiation is evolving right along with it. And technology is a huge part of that.
Yeah, technology, I feel like it's a double-edged sword, you know?
Oh, for sure. It creates all these new opportunities for communication and collaboration, but it also brings up some new challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what kind of challenges?
Well, I mean, think about it. It's so easy to misunderstand each other online, right?
Oh, yeah. Tone can get lost in emails and texts all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's harder to build trust, to establish that rapport when you're not face to face.
Yeah. It's like sometimes it feels like technology is actually making it harder to connect on a human level.
It can feel that way for sure. So how do we adapt these timeless principles, you know, to this new landscape? How do we become effective negotiators in the digital age?
That's a big question.
It is a big question.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it comes down to self-awareness, you know, recognizing that technology is just a tool.
Right.
It can amplify our strengths, but it can also, you know, magnify our weaknesses.
So it's like understanding your own communication style, knowing your strengths and weaknesses as a negotiator before you even log on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, are you someone who tends to misinterpret tone in emails? Do you have trouble conveying empathy in virtual meetings? These are things to be aware of so you can adjust your approach.
You've got to know your own quirks.
Totally. And it's like learning a new language. You know, it takes practice and a willingness to adapt.
So like, what are some examples of things people might need to change about their approach when they're negotiating online?
Well, I mean, for one thing, you might need to be more deliberate about expressing empathy, you know, like using specific language to convey understanding and build rapport.
Because you're not there in person to, you know, smile and nod and make eye contact.
Right. You have to make up for that with your words.
Yeah.
And you might need to be more upfront about sharing information, you know.
To build trust.
Exactly. Like being transparent about your goals or finding that common ground early on in the conversation.
It sounds like the fundamentals are still there. It's just the way we apply them is changing.
That's a great way to put it. And that actually leads to another really interesting development in negotiation, the rise of AI.
Whoa, AI negotiator.
I know, right? Sounds like science fiction, but it's becoming a reality.
So like computers are going to be negotiating for us now.
Well, not exactly. I think it's more likely that AI is going to become a really powerful tool for human negotiators.
Okay.
Like imagine a system that can analyze tons of data, identify patterns in past negotiations, and even suggest the best strategies in real time.
Wow, that would be pretty amazing.
Right. And it could even help to level the playing field. You know?
How so?
Well, by giving people who might not have as much experience or resources, you know, access to the same kind of insights that the pros have.
That's a really cool idea. It's like AI could democratize negotiation skills.
I think it has the potential to do that.
Yeah.
And it's just one example of how technology is transforming this ancient art.
It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
It is. And while there are definitely some unknowns, you know, about the future of negotiation, one thing is clear, those who are willing to embrace these new tools and adapt these timeless principles, they're going to be the ones who shape the world we live in.
It's like a whole new frontier.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder that negotiation isn't just about, you know, winning or losing. It's about understanding ourselves, connecting with others, and building a world where cooperation wins out over conflict.
I love that idea. And, you know, it's been such an amazing journey doing this deep dive with you, exploring the lives of these incredible negotiators, learning their secrets, and realizing that we all have the potential to be better negotiators in our own lives.
I agree. And I hope this has inspired our listeners to see negotiation not as something scary or intimidating, but as an opportunity, you know, a chance to unlock their full potential as communicators, as collaborators, and as people who can make a real difference in the world.
It's all about building bridges, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this topic so endlessly fascinating. It's not just about getting what you want. It's about building relationships, creating value, and shaping a world where we can all thrive.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. The world needs skilled negotiators now more than ever. And that negotiator just might be you.